betting trends out there that you might want to take a look at right now. So we'll get into that. You can take a listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and the podcast section of the iHeartRadio app. We'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend. Ryan, how's it going?
Going well, going well. Some good action this week.
Oh, that was action was incredible.
It lived up to the hype, and now we're on to the weekend and looking for some more action.
One favorite covered, and that was Kent. Four or five out of six overs hit. Or no, four out of five. They only had five games. Four out of five overs hit, and the other one almost hit. Because was gonna hit, but the quarterback had a little mini Josh McCown play.
Yep.
Without the helicopter, just launched it in the end zone. And he fumbled it, and that would have sent it over. And then they would have taken the lead outright too.
Correct. Yep.
So that was massive. And I don't know if you saw this, but the Akron coach got fired today.
I did not see that.
Yeah. So a costly play all around for the Zips.
Cash for your boy though. I had the under in that game.
Yeah, the one under I had. I knew I'd never liked that under, and I should have never done it. Eastern Michigan Toledo never stood a chance. But 1-1 in action. I'm mad I didn't take Ohio. I should have known that. Incredible first week of action. And then next week we bring in all the MAC teams with the Buffalo and Bowling Green playing. And then whoever else was out. The Kent State Powder Blue jerseys, those were something. I know those were great jerseys.
Those were, those were covering jerseys for sure.
Oh, like for
you,
sure.
You covering those jerseys every time.
Yeah. It got a little hairy there at the end.
It did. Yeah, it did. It had to sweat it out a little bit. I went 3-1 in Maction. Two dogs were outright winners in Central Michigan and Eastern Michigan. Like I said, it's you gotta love it. Tuesday, Wednesday night football. I mean, there's nothing better.
Yes, I also want to see the ratings. I'm always curious for the ratings on these games. Like, it's a like they have them, and the Ringer did an article a couple years ago with the MAC commissioner about why they went to the Tuesday, Wednesday night. Obviously, it's about exposure, but like during a normal Saturday. Their games, if it's on they have a deal with like CBS Sports Network. They get like the noon game, or they get a game on CBS Sports Network. And then all the other ones are going to be on like ESPN Plus. I don't know. I can't imagine that they draw more than 40,000 people if that watching that. But then when you get them on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, you get close to a million, probably 700,000, 800,000 people watching. So I'm curious what the ratings are. I haven't seen anything, but just, it's a lot more exposure, and then obviously everybody wants to gamble on it. So it's a genius idea because they're not doing it when the player, the world, it'll be game six or seven of the World Series, but pretty much everybody has two screens now, or they can watch it on multiple ways. So it's a genius idea, at least for week one, that they do that. So I'd like to see the ratings. The ratings for the World Series on Sunday actually weren't that bad considering the NFL game was on. They got 13 million viewers in the Cowboys game nationally, got 15. I'd say that's not a bad deal there for the baseball, at least.
No, not at all. Not a big disparity at all. I wonder how much of that had to do with Cooper Rush playing, and how much of that had to do with the Astros being in the World Series. You know, Texas kind of going half and half there. One thing about the MAC though, they do the midweek Maction at the perfect time. First week of November. Weather's starting to turn a little bit, like it's just perfect. If they did it from the jump, or did it like in starting it in September, or even starting in October, where it's still a little warm, don't think it's quite have the same zest. But first week in November, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, and like the Sun Belt's trying to do it with like one game on a Tuesday and then a game on a Wednesday in like October, in the middle of October. Like, I get why they're doing that; they want their exposure, but it just doesn't. It doesn't.
Maction, as a kid say, hits different.
Yes, it hits different, but it's also like they were smart to do this like 4 or 5 years ago. And then a lot of people were like, why are they playing MAC games on there? Well, to get some more TV stuff. I'm a MAC homer. I think we all know that. But it's just like, I'm not saying the Sun Belt is stealing. Like, they should do what they want to do. They also showcased their best games, like App State against Coastal, and then Louisiana against App State. I would say those are probably the three best teams there. So they're showcasing them, so that's good. But it's just like, it doesn't, as you said, like baseball's done, NBA's getting going, NHL's getting going. Like, this is the time where, and you're in the middle of the week, you're like, hey, you know what? I wouldn't hate a football game, and we'll give you three on a Tuesday and three on a Wednesday. Like, that's fine. And the football is, I mean, the whole point of Maction is crazy stuff happens all the time. Like, crazy plays. They're highly entertaining game. Like last night, the Kent game, there were like 1,600 yards of total offense. No one was stopping anybody. Like we said about the Akron game, the Western Michigan or the Eastern Michigan Toledo game had like 100 points in it. Two punt returns by the same kid in the first half yesterday for Central. Just crazy stuff, exciting plays all over the place. Like, the brand of football they're playing too is electrifying. Like, if it was just a boring Big Ten-esque Iowa, Wisconsin, or Penn State first half when it's 0-0, yeah, they're probably, people would still watch, but it wouldn't get the same. There's highlight plays and crazy plays that happen in action.
Yeah, always. Like the one we saw in Akron where they're getting ready to go ahead. They're getting ready to hit the over, and dude fumbles it in the end zone. There's never a dull moment. Even when you, like, that's the thing. You know, yesterday, the Central Michigan game, Central Michigan was up big, and they were still catching nine. And I was like, nope, this ain't over. This ain't over till it's over. We've seen games flip in the last minute and a half of Maction games. And that's what makes them so great.
Yeah, and even Ohio almost blew an outright run to Miami.
Yeah.
But no, I would say this, the epitome of Maction is Northern Illinois drives right down the field to score a touchdown on their first series. I think it was probably only a three-play. Really wouldn't say drive. It was like a three-play scoring drive. And they just try to do an onside kick right after. Like, if that isn't Maction, then that is, I don't know what is. That was like the epitome of Maction.
100%.
All right, since we're on college football, we'll talk about it. We'll go right into that. All right, the rankings came out, the first college football playoff rankings. I love the rankings debates. I think it's, I don't know. I just think it's funny. That's what makes college football so interesting, is everything. And I'm not one to really get too upset about the rankings. It's early on. I will say, when I was watching the rankings, I had them on TV, and the first time I audibly gasped or laughed out loud was when Mississippi State came on the screen as the number 17 ranked team in the country. I was floored. I did not think they would even be ranked. They haven't been ranked all year. There are other receiving votes in the coaches poll and the AP poll, and then bam, put them right above two teams they beat, NC State and Kentucky. That was an audible laugh out loud moment. And then obviously Oklahoma at 8 is getting a lot of talk, Cincinnati at 6. But the biggest thing, again, is Alabama at 2. Yeah, we're probably making too much of this, but I do think that this has just been going on a base that Alabama gets graded on a different scale than everybody else, which these rankings are supposed to be like a year to year. Like, whatever happened last year for Alabama doesn't equate to this year for Alabama when it comes to the rankings. And that does not happen for the committee. They take the school profile for Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama. Like, Alabama lost, and they lost as an 18-point road favorite. Like, sure, you could say, yeah, I think they're the second best team in the country. Don't rank them there. You should be punished for a loss, because what they're saying is, you know what, if Alabama loses, we don't really care, especially to A&M, and they put A&M at what, 14?
Yeah.
Like, all they say is you need to have good wins, good wins, good wins. What's Alabama's best win right now? 16 and 17 against Ole Miss and Mississippi State, two average teams in the country.
Well, they beat Florida while Florida was ranked 11th. They beat Miami.
Florida's not any good right now.
Right, but you know, you asked, I mean, that's what I'm looking at right now. Obviously, Miami was week one was ranked 14th. So,
and I don't, but
you're beating teams when they're ranked in a tough spot.
Okay, week one rankings I don't think mean anything, especially Miami when we see what they've been.
Yeah,
and then when you see Florida, you could say, okay, when they played them, yeah, that was it. But now look at them going forward; they're not very good, and that was probably right. What they are right now is probably a bigger. That shows them shows more who they are now than when they played Alabama, and that was in week three. But they haven't beat anybody. And then you're going to say Cincinnati. Oh, well, Cincinnati really hasn't beat anyone. They beat the number one. They beat the number 10 team in your rankings. So they're just given, they're just grading on a different scale for teams. Like, I know this has been talked about yesterday, but you cannot tell me if Clemson was had Wake Forest's resume right now that Wake slash Clemson wouldn't be the number two team in the country if it was Clemson. You just cannot tell me they wouldn't do that.
No, 100%. No, you're absolutely right.
So that's the big problem. And then I guess my other big problem from this is they should really just name these the Power Five playoff rankings, because I would probably say, you know, UTSA, you go 8-0, you probably should be ranked. You should be ranked. They should rank them. And SMU or Houston, I don't know. Houston probably at 7-1 should be ranked. And SMU, you lost a close game on a kickoff return in the last 30 seconds against Houston. You were undefeated before that. You probably should be ranked as well. Like, they just do not care about the group of five. Yeah, they threw Fresno and San Diego State in there. But, like, it's just literally the Power Five college football rankings, and then they're throwing Cincinnati in there at 6. And, I mean, that's fine, but I don't think really Cincinnati has any shot to make the playoff, and that's disappointing.
I think a lot of these, the first week rankings, the committee kind of does themselves a favor so that teams can either play themselves in or play themselves out. I don't think there's any way Oregon's the fourth best team in the nation. Did we just forget that they lost to Stanford? I mean, Stanford's that's a bad team.
Plus, they didn't have their offensive coordinator. He was out.
I don't care.
That's a big loss.
I don't care.
And they lost on a bad pass interference call.
Win your games.
Okay, so are you going to say the same thing about Alabama then when you say win your games?
If you'd let me finish.
Okay.
Their loss, that Oregon loss, is 10 times worse than Bama's loss and 100 times worse than Ohio State's loss, because obviously they beat Ohio State. So I think Oregon, at the very least, or most, whichever way you want to look at it, they should be, I think you put them at 6, Ohio State at 4, and Cincinnati at 5. This is why I say they're playing, they set themselves up for teams to play themselves out. I don't think if Oregon wins out and wins the Pac-12 championship, there's no way that they're going to get in. I don't think so anyway. I think Ohio State, the winner of Ohio State, Michigan State, which they still got to play each other, so they won't even meet in the conference championship game. So winner of that game probably ends up in there. I think if Alabama beats Georgia, I even think if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, there's still a way that a 2-loss Alabama team gets in there, maybe at the 4 spot. But I'm just saying, based on how they have these teams set up, Cincinnati, they're probably going to win outright. I mean, they have Tulsa, South Florida, SMU. That's going to be a tough one. Eastern Carolina left on their schedule. They're going to be at 6, and the highest they probably finish is 5. OU, they got a lot of work to do. I don't think so. Yeah. So as I was saying, I think Oklahoma has a lot of work to do. I don't know if the Big 12 really gets a chance for anybody to represent for them in the playoffs. I could also see somewhere where, tell me what you think. If I'm not the only person that's thought of this. What if we see Alabama beat Georgia and Michigan State lose to Ohio State? What are the chances that we see 2 SEC versus 2 Big Ten schools?
I don't see how that's possible. I hear people say that, but like Michigan State isn't going to be the Big Ten champ.
Correct. Right. No, Ohio State would beat them in a close game, and then Ohio State goes on to win the Big Ten championship.
But that doesn't make any sense. Why would Michigan State get in?
Because they're the fourth best team.
Well, they didn't even win the division. They didn't even win the conference. The argument to Bama, if Bama wins out, and that's the only way they're probably going to get in, is because they won the SEC.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I see people say that, and I think they're ridiculous for thinking that. I know there's no way that happens. Like, that's just not, that scenario I think is being thrown up. Okay. So then you think they're going to take a Michigan State team that has one loss and say Oklahoma goes undefeated. They're going to take that team over Oklahoma, or they're going to take a Michigan State team?
I think Oklahoma would have to lose. Oklahoma would definitely have to lose. Maybe they lose this week. I don't know.
I think Cincinnati or Wake Forest.
I think Cincinnati has a big uphill battle. I really do. I don't know that they.
I do too.
I don't think that they really have a shot unless we see some chaos where Ohio State beats Michigan State, Michigan beats Ohio State, Ohio State loses in the Big Ten championship
they
game.
They wouldn't make it to the Big Ten championship game.
Michigan would make, you know, would lose in the Big Ten championship game. I think Wake Forest going undefeated when the ACC has a better shot to make it in than Cincinnati does.
Maybe. I don't know. But Cincinnati has better wins. The whole thing is, I'm telling you.
But it's a Power Five and you win a conference championship, that gets you in. At least that's the way it seems.
Yeah, I guess. Or if you lose to a 14th ranked team rather than beating a team that was number two in the country, that seems to also play into your hands better than losing to a team that is in the top 10.
I think a lot of this from you is just a lot of vitriol for Alabama. Alabama is very much clearly 1 or 1A in the nation behind.
They're not 1A. Georgia's clearly a step ahead of Alabama.
Okay, and we'll find out. But my point being is Alabama is clearly a top two team in the nation.
I don't think so. I really do not think so. I think there's a bunch of teams that are all around the same.
Fair. I mean, there's no argument for that. I mean, if that's what you think, I mean, I think you're wrong, but either way, who am I to argue it? Like I said, I with those top two teams, Georgia absolutely has to be ranked first. When I saw Alabama ranked second, I wasn't completely shocked because, I mean, that's what I kind of agree with too and think as well. So you're not going to get any pushback from me on those top two teams.
Well, my thing is just that they just use kiddie gloves on Alabama. The only reason they're ranked number two is because of the name of the school. If you want to look at the resume and they say, oh, we judge wins, quality of wins. Oregon has the best win out of any team minus A&M. So why are they not the highest ranked one loss team? If they just go by
because they lost to Stanford,
but they go by wins that you never hear them say, oh, you know what? If they're all one loss, they say, you know what? We look at the wins. We look at who you beat. Look at this. I would say, Oregon win at Ohio State on the road. And yes, they lost to Stanford. They were without their offensive coordinator. They had a bad pass interference call at the end. They had a lot of issues, especially with Moorhead being out. That's a big loss. And finding out like a day before the game, he's going to be out. That's a big loss. Is they always take account of it. They always say, oh, we look at what players are out. So why not take an account? Like, they don't judge win. Like, they just make up different rules for different teams is what I'm saying. And, like, again, the fact that Mississippi State is ranked 17th, they probably just did that to throw Alabama a bone and say, look, Bama beat two teams that are ranked in the top 17. Mississippi State's not the 17th best team in the country. Get out of here. And I Mississippi State has a grunt, like they should have beat Memphis. They got hosed. Like, they could be 7-1 this year if they take care of business at home and don't get screwed against Memphis. Like, they're probably a little better. They should have probably one more win on the season. Well, they're not the 17th ranked team in the country. Get out of here. Minnesota lost to Bowling Green at home. Bowling Green is garbage. They're 35 point favorites at home and they put them in 20th. Like, that's not punishing a team for losing to a MAC team at home. They just pick and choose on what losses that they care to punish.
Well, the good news is we have about six more weeks of this to go. So,
well, for sure. No, I know. But it's also, and I here I am. I laugh at people getting mad about the rankings, and I love debating, and I love saying this stuff. But it's just the same. It's the same garbage every year that happens. They just play to the big schools, obviously, and that helps Ohio State out. But it's just like, come on, act like you want to see some diversity, or I don't know, just like some smaller schools, throw them in the, like, imagine how cool it'd be for UTSA if they were ranked in the college football playoff, because that's the only rankings anyone goes by now. Like, just help, just act like you watch other games than just the like 10 games a week or whatever, I guess.
Look, but I mean, we all know what it boils down to.
Money, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and so while it would be cool to see UTSA ranked in there, it would be cool to see Cincinnati ranked in there. If they actually went up against a Georgia, went up against an Alabama, went up against an Ohio State,
I mean, we've seen this play out time and time again, even with other
power five schools. We haven't, though.
When I'm talking about blowout wins, I mean, how many times have we seen blowout wins in the college football playoff semis? A ton. We've seen a ton of them. And so you throw in these smaller schools and they just don't have the talent level to match up with these guys. And you would see that, you know, time and time again.
Yeah, but I'd rather see them get blown out than just the typical Notre Dame getting blown out every time they walk into a playoff event. I mean, Clemson got blown out last year, for Christ's sake, in the Sugar Bowl. Like, teams,
that's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody gets blown out, so why not throw the – I'm not saying UTSA even is in there for whatever, the playoff or what. I'm just saying get them ranked. Like, Cincinnati, they haven't lost a game in 2 years. Like, yeah. At some point, they're going to show they're a good football team. And the whole thing, this goes into the bigger thing of everyone's like, oh, we need to expand the playoff. No, we do not need to expand the playoff. We do not need to expand the playoff. It does not need to happen. They just need to stop using this bias against the group of six schools. If there's one that's worthy to make it in there, then they get in. Because guess what's going to happen? They're like, oh, you know what? If there's more at-large bids than in an 18 or 12-team playoffs, oh, there's going to be automatic qualifiers for every conference, and then we got seven at-large bids or whatever. They're not going to take another group of five school if one's worthy. They are forced to take one group of five school right now, and you've never seen them take more than two when there's probably been a couple arguments where they should have been taken two. So they're not going to do that. They don't care about that. They're just doing what they put in the contract. All right, to the games this weekend. Kind of it's a tough slate out there. Tough slate out there this weekend. I'd say the game of the—I don't even know what the game of the weekend is. Auburn A&M. It's a tough.
Yeah.
There's this week in week. Here we are in week 10. Not really a lot out there for in the ranked matchup world. There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one with two ranked matchups. I'm just going to be keeping an eye on Wake Forest. They play North Carolina. They're actually the dog on the road against North Carolina. Keep an eye on that. But other than that, Liberty Ole Miss, I think that'll be a fun game. Two high-powered offenses, a smaller school. We disavow Liberty now because of some reports coming out of the school, so we no longer bet on them. At least I don't. So
I bet on them.
That'll so you're cool with them covering up rape charges. Okay.
No.
That's what it sounds like.
No.
Yep, that's exactly what it sounded like to me. Other than that, I mean, yeah, not a whole lot to it's a good thing we had Max in this starting this week, because that's probably as good as the college football is gonna get this weekend.
Yeah.
TCU might be fun. But outside of that.
Well, TCU without Gary Patterson.
True, yeah. And you know what's funny? Is just maybe like last week or very, very recently, within the last 10 days, I was watching either a TCU highlight, or maybe I was watching the TCU game, and I was like, man, Gary Patterson probably is going to have like a lifetime contract with TCU. And then I'm telling you, this had to be within the last week. And then he gets, they mutually agree to part ways or whatever.
Well,
and,
I don't think it was a lot of mutual.
Exactly. It's one of those when your girlfriend dumps and you're like, oh yeah, no, we both decided. Yeah, so that was kind of just a little funny moment I had with myself. But yeah, no Gary Patterson at TCU, so we'll see who the regime gets turned over to now. And as far as this weekend goes, PU.
So that's funny. You thought he was going to get a lifetime contract. I was talking to my dad on Saturday. I was like, man, TCU's pretty bad. I go, I bet Gary Patterson, this is last year there, they're going to can him. Because TCU hasn't been great the last, three or four years?
Correct.
They've been very average. The offense has been poor. The defense hasn't been great. I'm like, there's probably a time for everything where this is going to end. And I was like, I bet it's at the end of the year. And then Monday, Patterson gone. I was like, or Sunday, whatever it was. I was like, whoa, that was faster than I thought. And he really got hosed there. You would think that some guy that literally built the university to what it is now.
And seeing that was my thought process, like, of why he was just going to be there like forever.
Because
part of it was like, well, would Gary Patterson like ever go anywhere else? Like, he could probably go to a bigger school and have a lot of success somewhere. But I was like, well, he's probably comfortable at TCU. He probably runs the show. And so that's exactly why I thought the way I did about him and being at TCU.
Yeah. I just thought they'd let him finish the season if they were going to make a move. Like, I mean, he's enrolled everything about the university, putting TCU on the map. There's one man behind it. and that's Gary Patterson. You could say he's probably the most underpaid coach in college football for a university, or he's meant the most for anybody anymore, any coach to university. He's meant a ton to them with all the revenue they've gotten and everything like that. That doesn't happen without Gary.
Yep.
And just to send him out in the middle of the season, that's a tough, tough scene. All right, to the picks we go this week. What do you got? I had a stinker in college and the NFL last week.
Last week, I went 7-4, so bringing my total to 59-29 on the season. This week, like I said, I went 3-1 in the MACtion, so 62-30 up to this point. I got the Liberty Ole Miss over 66.5. I got SMU minus 4.5 against Memphis. I like Michigan State laying 3 against Purdue. That line is a puzzler to me. I like the Auburn Texas A&M over 49. I like Kentucky in a pick'em against Tennessee, and against my better judgment,
I know what it is, and I almost took it.
What is it?
You got Arizona plus 11 at Colorado, at home against Cal.
Not that crazy.
Oh, it's not that game?
No, not that crazy. I thought
you would have had that.
I'm going to take the University of Texas Pole Assassins against Iowa State.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that. The monkey's gonna be biting off kids there in Ames.
Yeah, they're going the monkey's going hunting out in Ames.
They play close games, so I think the bet's probably Texas first half, right?
Texas like, in every first half. I think, and then they're playing that team in the second half.
I just talked myself into adding a bet on the card. Texas first half. Now I guarantee you they lose the first half this week. What is it? Plus 3.5 in the first half? Yeah, take it. Well, you know what?
Let's ride.
All right, we ride. All right, I went 2-5 last week. Couple of horrible beats. 1-1 in MAC. So my record is 49-44-1. Yeah, the under in Georgia, Missouri. I thought about taking the team total Missouri under. That was 9.5. That's a tough number to take, but I'm going to take under 59. Over in Wake, UNC 76. I'm on Purdue plus 3 against Michigan State. They're a giant killer. They slay the Giants. And Michigan State in these games, they won by 3 against Nebraska. They had won by 5 against Indiana. This is just a letdown spot for me. I'm going to take Purdue. Penn State minus 10 at Maryland. I have the over in Tennessee, Kentucky, 56.5. I have Mississippi State plus 5.5 at Arkansas. Arkansas, now when they've gone into SEC play, they are 1-3. So not doing well against the SEC competition. And well, their only win is against A&M, and that's when A&M couldn't complete a forward pass. I'm going back to this. They should have won last week. It's the under in Clemson, Louisville, 47. And then finally, Hawaii plus 7 at night against San Diego State at home on the island. It was against Hawaii last week. San Diego State can't score. So that is the card for the week. Did you take a look at your team totals or not?
Oh, you know what? Totally forgot.
All right. Well, I'll do mine. We're looking good. UCLA's got 4 games left. They're 5-4, I think, or 4-4. They had 7 wins, so we could be looking at a push there. Vandy under 3. They got 2 wins. Don't think they're going to win a conference game. Texas under 8. That's already a push. Kent State over 5.5. Need one more win to hit that. We had Kansas over 1 at minus 190, so that's a push. We're getting our money back. We're just hoping they can pull one out. And then Alabama under 11.5 is cash. So we're looking pretty good right now in college football totals.
I know I for sure lost one of them. So
yes, we know that.
But I'll have to go back and listen to them. I need a reminder. I'm a little forgetful over here. All right. So
I thought saying last week on Monday we could have got a reminder, but off we go. No,
need more than that.
All right. To the NFL we go. Big off the field news this week. Aaron Rodgers tested positive for the COVID, so he's out until at least next Saturday. Not playing against the Chiefs this week. Odell has just gone AWOL. He hired his dad, or not hired his dad, told his dad to put out a video on the gram, and then hasn't showed up to the, they've told him to stay away from the facility, but they don't, the players today are talking more, the players are talking, and they really don't know what's going on. They just are saying that I don't know, we don't really know what's going on. If he can come back, we'd want him back, but like, we don't really know what's going on, so just play with who's here. But but yeah, he's gone. Saquon tested a lot of Rona cases this week in the NFL. A lot of off field. The Henry Ruggs thing, that's unbelievable. There's a lot of off the field news in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. I think we kind of had something similar last year, where the week after Halloween, we had quite a few cases of people coming up testing positive, whether asymptomatic or not. So kind of, you know, par for the course so far these last couple seasons. Yeah, the Henry Ruggs stuff is super sad, you know, unfortunate for all parties involved. You know, you wonder kind of what's going through his mind at the time, but now he's got to deal with the consequences there.
156 miles an hour. I don't know. What kind of car did they say what kind of car it was?
Chevy Corvette.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, man, what car can get up to 156? Like, that's,
well, yeah. Well, and then two, there's a couple people that are from the Vegas area, and they said they don't even know how you get to 156 on that stretch of road. Like, it's almost impossible to get to 156 on that stretch of road. So yeah, that's like, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, a lot of off the field stuff. I mean, the Raiders wasted no time in releasing him. You know, I don't know if that's definitely what you need to do in that case. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a slippery slope. Yeah, they released him.
I mean, he's going to go to jail.
Is he though? I don't know. I get it. I get it. No, I know he killed somebody. Somebody died because of his actions. I 100% get it. But I won't be surprised if there's some kind of pleading the charge down, and you know, maybe getting some like community service or something. Like, you know, you never know with some of these pro athletes. Like, they get these lawyers that are able to finagle these deals for him, and he's gonna probably have a cash settlement with the victim's family, and then, you know, it kind of goes away. I mean, Dante Stallworth went to jail for like what, 30 days?
Yeah, he also was on 2 years of house arrest though. I just looked that up.
Okay. So
yeah.
Which was he drunk when he did that, or was it just,
yeah, he got DUI, yeah, manslaughter.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's the thing too, is because that was in Ohio, wasn't it?
No, Miami.
Oh, it was in Miami.
He was on the Browns when that
That's what it was. Okay. So he got charged with DUI manslaughter, and I don't know if it's any different, but Henry Ruggs got DUI
It was a different verbiage,
like, yes. DUI resulting in death. I think that's what it is. DUI resulting in death. So I don't know if those are separate. I know it's a Class B felony, the DUI resulting in death, but it definitely sounds a lot less significant than DUI manslaughter.
Yeah, just the wording of it.
Correct.
One thing on Aaron Rodgers definitely misled a lot of people. Do you think he did or not?
When they asked him if he was vaccinated, in his mind, he didn't say I'm vaccinated. He say I've been immunized. So in his mind, whether the treatments that he took or did or whatever it was, his little voodoo medicine, in his mind, he had been immunized. So it was maybe sleight of hand, but people saying that he lied, I think it's a stretch. But he definitely, he didn't tell the truth, but he didn't lie.
I think the thing is, when you say you're immunized, I would say people would think that, okay, I got the vaccine.
Hey,
He misled. But the thing that I think that is really throwing people off and is getting the heels in the ground on this one, digging in, is that when he says, if you don't, there are teammates that haven't get vaccinated, that's their choice. Then you're just pretty much, when you follow up, you're saying I'm immunized, and then saying, well, there's some people on the team that aren't vaccinated, that's their choice, I'm not going to say that. I would say you're giving the impression that you are vaccinated there.
See, I could make the argument that that those are just two separate statements. Like, hey, I'm going to go to lunch in a couple hours, if people don't want to get vaccinated, that's their own choice.
Well, but in the context of the sentence, if you go listen to it, like it's hard for one for me. It's hard to when I heard it, it was hard to see that. Wow, I thought it was a very misleading.
Oh, it very was misleading. Statement. It's very much like lawyer talk to me, is what it sounded like. You know what I mean? Like you could, you're going to have to infer a lot of stuff to, you know, get the true sentiment of his statement, but he also has the outing of like, okay, that's how you interpreted it. That's not my fault. That's not maybe how I meant it. So it was very sneaky. It's very on brand for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, for sure.
He's in the Kyrie brand. He's in the Kyrie realm.
I won't go that far. I won't go that far.
Why? Because he makes some jokes and he hosted Jeopardy.
I don't even watch Jeopardy. I think maybe Kyrie's just a little more radical with his stuff, whereas Aaron Rodgers just comes off a little bit more, I guess like hippie would be a bad term, but also the one that kind of feel like kind of fits, like, you know, very, I don't know, like I said, I guess hippie's the best word I can come up with right now.
Yeah, I'm a Rodgers guy, but he's definitely saying some things that you're just like, okay, you're getting in that. You think you're smarter than what you are. At least I think so. And he's robbing us of another time. Look, when they were supposed to, he was hurt when they were supposed to play Mahomes last time on Sunday Night Football. Now he got robbed of this game again this week. But yeah, lots of things going on there. One more thing on Odell before we go to the games. You know me, I've been an adamant defender that Odell isn't like people are like, oh, he's a locker room cancer, blah, 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 all that stuff. I was like, no, he just wants to win. All the things you hear, his teammates love playing for him and they love him. This is hard for me to defend that on this one. This charade that he's not even he's pulled, his people around him have pulled. It's hard for me to defend him on this one.
What would be like an NBA comp? Would you say that like what Russell Westbrook is like an NBA comp to OBJ?
Russell Westbrook still had good season. I think his thing is just diminishing skills, I guess.
Odell?
No, Westbrook.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, you could say Odell's skills are diminished, but he's also always hurt.
Yeah, very. I really exactly. have no. That's the thing. If he was consistently healthy, I think he would have a little bit more of an argument to make. But when you're banged up as much as you are, it's tough to, you know. It's tough to defend you, but like, look, I think any other fan of any other of the 31 teams in the NFL would love to have Odell on their team. You know, if you do get a full healthy Odell because of the dynamics that he brings to your offense and the downfield playability, the catch and run playability, all of it that he adds, the spectacular catchability. So, you know, it's tough. So, you know, he gets put in the right spot where I think that he's more highlighted because this is the problem too. He's a guy that wants targets. He's a guy that needs targets to kind of stay engaged. And he's playing in a run first offense with a very average quarterback. And so when you're not the focal point of the offense, like he was a focal point of the offense in New York when Eli was there before they got Saquon, even when they had Saquon, he was still a big part of it. And so I think he's a guy that wants and needs those targets and catches to stay engaged and to really be able to thrive in any sort of offense.
Well, he was one of the most targeted players on the team before he got hurt last year.
Yeah,
like the whole criticism was he's throwing it to Odell he's forcing it to Odell. He's not Baker's not making good reads. Like he's forcing it too much to Odell.
Yeah,
like that's the whole thing. I mean, this year there are plays where it's looked like Odell's been wide open. And you know what? I could go as I said this before. Odell, you dropped a key fourth down play, fourth and two against the San Diego the Los Angeles Chargers that would have kept the drive going. That if you caught it, you might have could have scored a touchdown. The Browns definitely would have scored a touchdown on that instead of turnover on downs. And you dropped a key pass against the Cardinals when they were driving to try and make it a close game again and within a one score game. So when he's got the ball thrown to him, there's like four or five times this year that I think there was a pass, like a third down that he dropped. Like he has dropped some, and like, these are easy, like normal catches that you would think Odell should make. And then there's been other plays that he's made spectacular catches. So, like, he's not a clean soldier in this war of not getting the ball. And then he's got his henchmen doing the deeds of Stephen A. doing the dirty deed for him and LeBron tweeting free OBJ, which I think is funny. Well, these NBA guys doing the deed for him. Like, why don't you be a man? Why don't you come out and say, you know what, I want to get traded? Or why don't you call Baker and try and figure it out instead of just ghosting him? Like, come on, let's act. You're turning 29 tomorrow. Act a little professional here. Because even after the Minnesota game, when he wasn't getting targets or getting a lot of catches, his second game back, he was like, you know what? If we're winning, I'm fine with it because I want to win. But if we start losing, maybe it's going to be a different story. What happens? You lose 3 out of 4 and shit hits the fan because you're mad you're not getting enough targets.
I mean, to be fair, he warned you.
He did. He did warn us. He did warn us. But you know what? Maybe you'd expect a little more. Because if you want to go back and look at it, last year, we all said it. When he wasn't on the team, the offense went soaring. And I want Odell to succeed. Every Browns fan wants Odell to succeed on the Browns. We want him there because he's a dynamic that we need. Like, he was needed in the playoff game against the Chiefs. That was lacking a downfield deep threat. We didn't have it. They didn't have it. And now he's just doing this. And I think he's probably played his last game. I don't know. He's out of practice again today. I really don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. It's a very strange situation there. I mean, not strange, but it's interesting to see how it's going to play out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we know it's going to play out. He's not going to play this week, and he's not going to play again for the Browns. And you know what? Fine. Off you go. He does have a pretty big shoulder injury, too, that he's dealing with. So he is gutting it out on that front. All right, games this week. I mean, Browns-Bengals, that's a big one. Obviously Packers, Chiefs, that was going to be a really big one. We got the Von Miller trade to LA. That's a nice one against the Titans, but Derrick Henry's out. I mean, lots of good games that look good on paper. We'll have to see if injuries make them still that good or whatever, but what are your thoughts going on? We get the Mike White show tonight.
Yeah, we get Mike White. See if he can duplicate his, performance that we saw last week. Patriots, Panthers. I think the Patriots, I think this is a game that we kind of see who the Panthers are. We have for a while now. They're sitting at 4-4 when we thought that they were actually really good. Them and the Broncos are like the same team there. So I think we'll get to see a good taste of what happens. I think the Patriots are making their way back to on the right track. But outside of that, I don't really see a whole lot of games. The Cardinals 49ers, that could be interesting, obviously, for division sake, even though it still is the Cardinals and Rams top of the division there. But Bills Jags, that has blowout city written all over it. Falcons Saints. I know Taysom Hill is rumored to be coming back. I don't know if he is. I don't know if it's going to be Trevor Siemian playing. But that could be an ugly game. One of those games that Red Zone kind of forgets about all day long. But I do have some research, I guess you could say, some numbers in regards to the referees for each game of so far this season. What their splits are, home and road, money line against the spread, team totals, things like that. So for the most part, everyone is like right around 500 home and road against the splits, home and road against the spreads. So it's not, there's not a ton of guys that are maybe a far and away, separate from home teams and road teams against the spread, except for there are a couple. Sean Hockley, son of Ed Hockley. You remember him as the guy with the biceps. Yep.
His son has biceps too.
He road teams are 7-1 on the money line and against the spread in games that he refs. Over-unders are, hold on, that doesn't make sense. Oh, so overs are 2-6 in games that he refs. Home favorites are 0-5. Road underdogs 5-0. And the only time a home team has covered in games that he's refereed, they've been a home underdog. So if you wanted to, kind of expand on this, maybe Hockley's going to the old window and betting heavy dogs and refereeing them and making sure they come out on top. Not saying that he is, but if you wanted to read into it, you definitely could. Now, Craig Rolstad, he's 6-1 for road teams against the spread and money line. Road dogs are 3-0. Home favorites are 0-3. And then home dogs are 2-2. Road favorites are also 2-2. So not a big discrepancy there. And there was one other one here. Let me find it. Tony Correnti, his road teams are 5-2, both money line and against the spread. Let me see. There was one other one that really stuck out to me. I thought it was Cleet Blakeman. Cleet Blakeman, home underdogs 3-0 when he refs, road underdogs 3-1 games that he refs. So, just a little bit of, something to keep an eye on when it comes to referees.
You know what games they're refing this weekend?
I do.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Cleet Blakeman has the Patriots Panthers.
So that doesn't really help anybody.
Help anybody. Correct. Alex Kemp. Here we go. He was the one. So 6-1 road teams against the spread money line, 3-1 road underdogs. Road favorites are also 3-0. So he's reffing the Falcons Saints game. So the Falcons are catching 6.5. So that's one to keep an eye on. And then Carl Sheffers, he is 5-1. Road underdogs are 5-1 in games that he refs. He's reffing the Vikings Ravens game, who the Vikings are also catching 6.5. Those are two of the big outliers there. No games for Rolstad or Hockley, though, this week.
Did you see that road teams are winning at like a 57% clip this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. That is pretty interesting there. All right. Picks. I went to Goose last week, brought the Goose out.
0-5?
Yeah.
Oof.
Hey, we're still 25-15 on the season. I've went 5-0 and then followed up with an 0-5er.
Oh, hate to see it.
Don't really know if I have any complaints. I should have changed the Texans pick because I stated last week I'm taking the Texans because Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback. He was not the quarterback, and I thought about changing it all week, but almost got away with the backdoor at the end there, though. I don't know. Washington, I don't know why I took them. They never cover.
They did once.
Yes, once, but I don't know. So I'm 25-15. This week I like Dallas minus 9.5. Are you aware of the Manning cast curse?
No, what's that?
Every active player that has gone on there this year, the next week they have lost.
Oof. So
Brady was on the week before, lost to the Saints. Kelsey was on, I think, week one or week two. They lost the next week. There's like four guys that have been on it. Every active player, they've lost the next week. So you know who was on it this week?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Jags plus 14. 14.5, actually. 14.5.
Yeah.
So the Manning cast curse is going on. So we ride that. I am taking the Bengals minus 2.5. We are going to take the Giants plus 3. And then I am going to take, I was going to take the Jets, but I'm not going to take the Jets. I will take the I'll take the Falcons. No, they're not at home. I was going to ride some of that. I'll take the 49ers plus 1.5. Hope Kyler's out.
So I'm going to go ahead and ride with these. I went 3-2 last week. Got off a winner. I was on the Cowboys. Once Dak wasn't playing, I tweeted out. I said, hey, give me Chiefs minus 10. That was a big mistake. So 3-2, 17-21-2 on the season. So obviously I don't really know what I'm doing here in the NFL, not compared to what I'm doing with the NCAA football. But so I'm going to go ahead and take the Falcons plus 6 at New Orleans with Alex Kemp refereeing. I'm taking Minnesota plus 6 against Baltimore. They play weird games, and they're not playing primetime. So, I don't hate this. Minnesota plus 6 at Baltimore. I like the Bears plus 6 at the Steelers. There was a reason I took this. Tony Correnti. Yeah. 5-2 money line and against the spread. The road teams are So and road dogs are 2-2. So I'll take the Bears plus 6. I like the Chargers minus 1.5 against Philly. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take the Packers plus 7 against the Chiefs because the Chiefs defense still stinks. I think Jordan Love should be good enough to be able to keep it within a touchdown. You still got Aaron Jones to pound the rock. They're getting Devontae Adams back, so just feed the ball to him. Find him, and you should be in a good spot.
Also, quarterbacks being in their first start are pretty good against the spread. TA tweeted, I gotta go find that.
I have TA this week was a little bit hard OTA, and I wanted to tweet something at him, but I knew he'd just come back at me, so I didn't. But he was being a little bit of a hardo, like, buddy, relax. You're taking this some of this stuff like way too serious.
That's his bit, but the numbers he gave out are pretty good. I don't want the 49ers. I want the Falcons. They're also on the trend of team that didn't cover last week against the cover. You know that
yep.
one?
Yep.
It's 32-14-1 this year. It was 3-1 last week. The week before it was 1-2. So the Bears are on that list this week. The Falcons are on the list. The Jags are on the list. The Texans are on the list. The Chargers are there. And then the Chiefs are a team as well. So I will take I'll take the Falcons on that one. All right, some NBA gambling. So did you know that they're using a new ball this year in the NBA?
Correct.
And it is called games, not a lot of scoring. There's only four teams or five teams right now so far through the season that the totals that are above 500, that's San Antonio, the Lakers, the Knicks, Orlando, and Charlotte. The Orlando didn't score more than 75 points last night. There are There are 15, half the league has at least six games gone under so far this season. And there are seven teams that have only gone over once. That would be the Suns, Minnesota, Golden State, Houston, Dallas, Denver, and Brooklyn. All these teams are under teams right now. As well, Philly, Milwaukee, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Utah have two wins. Or two games going over right now. So the unders, look, I know we hate it, but I'm going to have to start betting more NBA unders right now. The ball is just not going. The ball's just not going in the hoop. If guys are got to figure out what's going on, but it's not happening.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that as well. That was kind of the thought going into the season that, you know, changing the ball up, going from Spalding to Wilson, was going to affect players. We saw that when they brought out that Euro ball a few years back.
They changed that in the middle of the season, I think. Yeah. There was a stripe, yeah.
No, they changed it and then went back to it in the middle of the season. Back to the regular one in the middle of the season. But, yeah, so it's a big effect there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying the NBA this season. And that's probably because I'm watching the Cavs, and the Cavs have been enjoyable. But so
I'd
far,
say the Cavs are playing better than normal, so that would make sense.
They are playing better than normal, but I would say I'm enjoying.
Look, they got a couple good young pieces. Lauri Markkanen, obviously, shout out, bear down.
The fact that he's the first guy you go to on their good young pieces is alarming.
No, he's
because he's a role player on the team.
He's probably the best player on the team.
I would definitely not. Definitely. He's not a top.
He's a top six guy.
Yeah, well, he's not the best player. Yeah, top six, but that's not something to write home about.
I mean,
that's a rotation.
They literally have an award named for the sixth best player.
Yeah, but he's not that's a sixth man coming off the bench. That doesn't mean you're the sixth best player.
Nonetheless,
he's a starter. He's starting a small forward for them, which is pretty remarkable that he's a starting small forward.
Well, he's better than who's the other one? Okoro? Isaac Okoro?
Yeah, well, they like him coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Best player on the team is Evan Mobley or Jared Allen.
Jared Allen has been playing really well. He's swatting everything that comes his way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Evan Mobley, I don't know what his Rookie of the Year is right now, but I would take a look at that. I would take a shot at that because he is dominating on the defensive end. Got a nice little offensive game. But, they've been pretty good. And it's just a weird... Like, the NBA overall, it feels like it's just in a weird spot right now. Like, the Lakers are...
Yeah.
I mean, it's so early in the season, but it just seems like we're in a weird, I don't think there's really a true favorite to win the finals with Kyrie not on the Nets. As we said, like, that's, I'd say it's wide open.
Yeah.
Definitely more than it has been in recent years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like before, oh, it's just the Warriors or then the Cavs. Let's just get to June so they could play in the finals or all things along those lines. But it is, I mean, it's, there's been some good stuff out there, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else here?
That'll do it.
All right. We'll talk to everybody next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you then.
Braves won the